Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. I want to ask you to open God's Word, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This morning we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. The third hour we'll also be adding in a baptismal time, so it's going to be a busy day and a great day here on the hill. We're excited for everything the Father is doing, continues to add to the body of Christ and people getting things right with the Lord and being baptized, following the Lord in obedient baptism, showing forth His death, burial, and resurrection. So it's just going to be a great day. We're going to look at Romans 12 and verse 2. For those of you that maybe are new here this morning, maybe this is your first Sunday to be a guest with us here on the hill. We're in this series entitled The Year That You Change. And so we're just kind of working on that and what does that mean. And I'm just getting into God's Word in some areas where I think across the board, every one of us experience and have said, you know, and I just need to change there. We've all pretty well got some of the same areas where we struggle. And this morning, if you'll notice, the title of today's message is Think for Change. It's not think for a change, it's think for change. In other words, if change is going to happen in me, it's going to start between my ears. That's where change is going to start. That might be revelational for you, but I want you to think about that. And if I could put today's message into just like a sentence, the sentence would be this. I want you to listen carefully. God is more interested in changing your mind than He is in changing your circumstances. Just kind of let that set in for a moment. Some of you are saying, oh, that explains a lot. And it really does. God is more interested in changing my mind than in changing the circumstances of my life. Now, let me read Romans 12 and verse 2. We normally, you know, I've said my pulpit version is the New American Standard. And I realize I've been going off in some other translations here lately, and some of you saying, okay, I'm going to get the New American Standard because that's where the pastor reached from. And I know you no sooner buy the New American Standard than I go to something else. And so I want to just kind of get back to that. And then I want to read this passage from the New Living Translation and then dive into the Word. So Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, thereby be transformed by your thinking so that you can prove, so that you can show it is so, what the will of God is for your life, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, let me jump over. Let me read from the New Living Translation. If you've got a copy of that, I think it's up on the screen for you this morning. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How does He do that? By changing the way you think. Changing the way that you think. You know, normally, when we, if we want to be honest, when we get frustrated, we don't understand why God doesn't answer us, why He doesn't just hear our prayer, it is because when we get into some difficult times, we get down on our knees before the Lord, and we ask God to change our circumstances. We ask Him, Father, this problem is just absolutely overwhelming. And we ask God, remove this situation from my life, or ease the pain of life that I'm having to go through. But we go back to the seminal thought, and that is that our Father in heaven is more interested because of the value of changing our lives, where we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more interested in changing how we think about what we're going through, how we think about the way life is happening to us, how we think in our minds in response to what is taking place in our life. That's what God is interested in more than anything, even more than changing our situation. So wherever you and I are in life, whatever kind of problem I'm dealing with, whatever kind of physical illness or whatever kind of relational issue is going on, we're wanting God, because it is the nature of human nature, we want to be extricated from that. And God is saying, no, what I'm interested in is I want you to become like Christ. I want you to think like Him. And I want you to understand that nothing can happen in your life except, first of all, as a child of mine, it passes through my hands. Nothing can touch you. Why? Because God taught us in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, you are in my hands and my hands are in the Father's hands. There in John chapter 10. That is the basis and the foundation for eternal security. Amen? That's why we cannot be, one of the reasons we can never be lost again, because Satan cannot get to me without first of all going through the hands of Jesus Christ. And if that were not enough, he's got to go through the hands of the eternal Father, because Jesus has me in his hands and the Father has his hands around Christ's hands. We are secure. Amen? And so God says, nothing can touch you except first of all, it has permission, and it is either directly sent or it is permitted by the Father. And there are a lot of things that I go through in life. I go through not because God is mad at me, but because I live in a broken world. This world is broken, and God is going to do away with it. And in this world is disappointment and loss and illness and distress and what we would term accidents and people making poor judgments that wind up affecting my life. But God's promise is that he is in control of all of that, and nothing will ever touch me except by the Father's permission or by his directive. Does that make sense? So he says, what I want to change is what's going on between these. This is my battleground. What is taking place between your ears? So let's break that down into two or three thoughts. All right, number one, why manage your mind? Why is it good for you and I to manage our mind this morning? Let me give you two or three reasons. Number one is because thoughts determine the actions of my life. I don't live my way into a pattern of thinking. I think my way into a pattern of living. You and I are living the life that we're living today because of what's going on between our ears. The life I now live, I live because what's happening in my head. The way that your marriage is, the way that your relationships are, it is because of what's going on between our ears. What is happening in our mind. So the truth in your outline, your present life was formed by the dominant thoughts of your mind. Whatever dominates your thought has created the life that you and I find ourselves in. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 23, in today's English version says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now listen, is it not true, and I'm going to ask for a show of hands, but many of us see ourselves as useless. We wonder, I know why I'm alive. Why am I here? I'm just dog's breath, pond scum, whatever. And you see yourself maybe as weak. You see yourself maybe as stupid. You see yourself maybe, I'm just uncoordinated. And it's not necessarily because that's the way you are. It is rather because it is that way because growing up, somebody told you you were. And you believed it. You swallowed it. And here's what I'm saying. It's not my feelings that shape my life. It is what I believe. My life has been shaped by what I believe and by what I believe about me. And it doesn't even have to be true. It can be a lie. But if I swallow it, if I believe it, then it becomes true for me and it shapes my life. All right? So thoughts determine action. Number two, Sin is fought between our ears. And I just say this over and over again in every way that I can. My mind and your mind is where the battle with sin takes place. And so God is saying, all actions and all temptation, all the actions in my life, all the temptations that I encounter in my life are birthed in my mind. Look at the insight in your outline. It is this: temptation is an internal issue. Whatever tempts me in life does so from within me. Inside me, inside my brain, is where I either win or I lose the battle with temptation. Romans 7, verse 22 and 23. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But, and that is a huge conjunctive. But there is something else deep within me, listen, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. Now, I want you to notice the three words that are just their battle words. He says, but there is something else deep within me that is at war with my mind. It wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin. Those are battle words. Would you agree with that? And so what Paul is revealing to us through the power of the Holy Spirit is there is the war that you and I face is between our ears. And I want you to leave here this morning realizing that. Your thoughts determine the direction of your life. What you believe in your mind determines how you're going to wind up in life. The truth in your outline, Satan and your sin nature battle to control your brain every day. That's why many of us have mental fatigue. We're just worn out. And it's mental fatigue because of the battles in our life. And so what I want to do is to help us in this battle to where we're not just fatigued mentally because of this constant battle going on inside of us. All right, number two. Let's talk about the pathway to a healthy mind. This is where the battle is. So what is a pathway to a healthy mind? See, God, the Bible says, God deals or does a great deal for us. God does many things for me. God watches over me. God protects me. God provides for me. God instructs me. God shields me from a lot of different things, from the power of Lucifer in my life. But here's what I want you to understand. Now listen to me clearly. The thoughts of my mind are my responsibility. God does a lot of things for me. But the truth in your outline, your thoughts are controllable. And it's not easy to control your thoughts, but it is not impossible. So if you're battling thoughts that are, you're dealing with fear or lust or you're having depressive thoughts, one of the things I did for so long with some of those thoughts that I would have is I would go to the Father and I would say, God, help me. Deliver me from the power of these thoughts. And there's been so many times I just thought, you know, God didn't come through for me on that one. God just didn't show up on that. And maybe you feel the same way. Let me just give you a little bit of insight here. What God is going to say to me when I say, Father, I just ask you to deliver me from this thought process I'm going through. God, these lustful thoughts, these depressive thoughts, this thought, this fear. God, I just want you to just ask you to deliver me. You see, what God's word is to me when I understand from the viewpoint of the Bible, God is saying, John, those are your thoughts. You change how you are thinking. Your thoughts are controllable. Don't be asking me to change. I will do for you what only I can do for you. I will not do for you what you can do for yourself. And you and I can change our thoughts. Changing my thoughts and your thoughts begin with making certain choices. Now, there are like three choices that we can make from a biblical position. I don't have time to get into all three of those because we're going to do the supper this morning. And at the third service, you've also got baptism. And so what I want to do, I want to give you the first choice, and then Lord willing, I'll come back and I'll give you the other two next Sunday. Deal? Amen. All right? And so what that means is I'm going to see you in that chair next Sunday too. All right? So guys, you know, I want to maybe do a span with the camera so I see everybody here. We'll do roll call. All right. So what is the choice that I need to make
that's going to put me on a pathway to a healthy mind? What is the choice God says? If I want to change my thoughts, what does God say I need to do? The one thing I want to share with you today is this. Feast on truth daily. Feast on truth. See, there's a lot of junk. There's a lot of trash. There's a lot of spiritual poison. And I've got to determine, I've got to make a conscious decision. I'm going to feed my mind on truth. And you've got to make that same decision. John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Now, in a few moments, we're going to prepare. We're going to be taking the Lord's Supper this morning. And I know there are going to be many of you that are saying, man, I wish that I'd known that was going to be today. I wouldn't have come. And I hope that's not what you're saying. I know that there are a number of people that do. There are people, if we announce we're going to do this supper, they don't show up. It's not because they don't want to honor the Lord. It is because they do not feel worthy. I do not feel worthy to offer the supper to you. I doubt there is a deacon on this hill that feels worthy to administrate the supper for you. But the fact of the matter is, we are commanded to remember the Lord's death until he comes. You are commanded. You are under a command to take the supper, all right? God doesn't tell us how often we have to do it. We can do it as often as we want. Some people do it every Sunday. I just think you can do it so much it doesn't mean anything. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to do it, that's okay. We try to do it about every other month here on the Hill. One of the things we seek to plan out. We want to do it often enough so that it is meaningful, but not so much so that it kind of loses its significance. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so that being said, there are a lot of people who don't come because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy to take the supper. Jesus didn't say, I want you to remember me when you feel worthy. He didn't say that. He said, as often as you eat this bread or drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he come. Do this in remembrance of me. Many of us, listen, are feeling unworthy. It is because of what you think about most of the time. And now you know, because of this message this morning, it is because of what you take into your mind, and it is because of what you watch, and it is because of what you listen to. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4, Jesus said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. That's why we challenge ourselves every year in January to take up the challenge. I'm going to read the Bible through. I'm going to read the Bible through. And maybe some of you have gotten behind this morning. Don't stop. Pick back up. Don't try to catch up. You know, reading. I'm going to read 12 days in a row. Don't do that. Don't just sink yourself. Just get started. The whole point is that you stay in the journey. Amen? That's the point. You know, we're seeking to just get into the Word. Why? Because the Word is the only thing that is going to change the trajectory of my thought life. It's going to change it because I'm getting a lot of garbage and a lot of poison every day through the things that I watch on TV, through the movies that we think, through the magazines and everything that are in front of us, through the language of, and the thoughts and the words of people that are around us. I get a lot of poison put inside of me, and it is only the Word of truth that changes the trajectory of my thought life. I've got to make a conscious decision to continuously feed myself on the Word of God. It is a conscious thought. So you say, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked that. Psalm 119, verse 147. David says, I rise up early. I rise early to cry out for help. In other words, he gets up early in the morning to pray and to put my hope in your words. Here's what God said. David said, he said, I begin my days crying out to God in prayer. And then I am perusing the word. I am looking for the promises of God. I'm looking for the words of hope. You see, the promises of God are words of hope. Would you agree with that? You know, when a spouse makes promises, when somebody important in your life makes a promise to you, that gives you hope. Because they're going to do something good for me. And so what God says in the Word is, I've got promises for you, and they're in my Word. And those are the promises that stand. And those promises are words of hope. His Word is full of these promises. And only in beginning your day with God's Word can you live a life of hope through His promises. Psalm 119, verse 97. Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. So he's always thinking about the word. Psalm 16, verse 7. Even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. So here's David's plan. David said, here's how I control my mind. He said, early in the morning, all through the day, and even late at night, I've given it to you three different places. He said, I am focusing on the word. He said, I'm just like, God, lead me through the word. I want to do this. So let me make that practical. If you Psalm 119, verse 95. Now listen to what David said. He said, when wicked people hide to ambush and kill me, I quietly keep my mind on your decrees. Let me just open that up. I want you to understand what this psalm was written when David was running from Saul. He ran from King Saul and from Saul's army close to 20 years. For that length of time, Saul and his men were on a mission established by Saul that they were going to kill David because David was perceived as a threat to the kingship of Saul. Saul wanted his kingship to pass to Jonathan. Jonathan said, you know, David is the next rightful king, which only grieved his dad, and so he was just going to get David out of the way. There were times when David knew that Saul and his men were right on his tail. They were right there. And he knew, if they catch me, I am a goner. They would surely kill him. And yet, regardless of this reality of his day, David said, I focus my mind on the promises of God to watch over me. So if life is coming down hard on you, if you're under financial stress, you're under worry, you don't know how this is going to turn out, you don't know how that is going to turn out, what is the directive of Holy Scripture? God is saying the power of your life lies in what is taking place between your ears. And the only thing to change what's happening between my ears is to build myself on the promises of God to me. As his son, his promises to you as his daughters. You gotta ask yourself, if someone was trying to kill you right now, would you be thinking about the word? You would say, are you kidding me? Can I have the sheriff's office? Can I have LPD, right? You would be saying, I want somebody around me. I want protection 24/7. You'd be, you know, trying to figure out how many guns can I get in the house, locking the doors and all that. And David said, regardless of what is happening to me, even when people are trying to kill me, I keep my mind on the truth of God, God's promises to me. You know what that's called? That's called managing your mind. Because God says, you are in control. I am in control of what takes place between my ears. I'm not totally at Satan's mercy in that. That's good news. Would you agree? Amen. I mean, it is. All right, so brings us down to lastly, the three enemies of my mind. The three enemies that fight me every day to keep me from this being the year that I change and become a better man, you become a better woman. What are those? Number one, your old sin nature. Your old sin nature. As a born-again child of God, there are two natures inside of me. There's the old nature, the old sin nature that I was born with. It's what I got from my dad. He got it from my grandfather, who got it from my great-grandfather, and all the way back to Noah. Goes all the way back to Noah. Noah got it all the way from Adam, right? And so it is all passed down. The sin nature comes, all right? Remember? That's why God said men were to be circumcised. Why does God do circumcision? Why do that? It's not because God's into some kind of weird ritualism. It is because in cutting the man in that way, a man is making a declaration that at the point of my ability to reproduce, there is something inside of me that needs to be taken away. And God says, when a man will not undergo circumcision, he said, he is anathema to me. Why? Because it is tantamount to saying, I don't have a problem. I don't need God in my life. And God required every Jewish man, every man was to be circumcised. Why? Because at the point of your reproductive abilities, God is saying, I want a declaration from you that at the point of my reproduction, the only thing I can reproduce is more mess like me. The only thing I can reproduce is another man, another woman who is a sinner at their core, is alienated from God, and is filled with lack of hope and of a future. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And God said, you will be circumcised or I'll have nothing to do with you. Why? Because it is a total denial of the truth of the spiritual world. And so God is simply saying, when you and I come into this world, we are born alienated from Him. We are born with a sin nature principle inside of us that God says it is there. And Romans 7:23 says, I see in my body a principle at war with the law of my mind. In other words, the battle for my brain, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside of me. Now, Paul's talking as a believer. So he's been born again. There is your sin nature, but at his core, at the center of his being, in his spirit, his soul, whatever you want to call it, that part of him that'll live forever, that is the breath of life that God gave to him. At that point, he has become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But living inside of this body is that old sin nature. He says, therefore, we find ourselves doing, as believers, we find ourselves doing what we know we shouldn't, but we do it anyway. We do it because we lose the battle between our ears. We lose the battle in our brain. Our new nature, born from within by faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, has the best intentions for every day. It's going to do what God wants done, always doing the godly thing. But your old sin nature still lives within, and Paul says that it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, listen to me. When you are an old, old man and every tooth in your head is loose and is dropped out and your skin is sagging all the way down to your ankles and you're as old and decrepit as you can possibly be and the next step is the grave, you will still be as lustful and as ungodly and as unholy as you were when you were 18. Why? Because there is something inside of you that will never yield to God. It will never yield. And the only thing to do for it is to kill it. And God says that's going to happen when your body dies. And when your body dies, it is gone. But that old sin nature is inside of me. And whether I'm 18, 38, 58, 74, or 85, it does not matter. That old sin nature rises up whenever I want to do God's will, and a battle starts because it doesn't want to subject itself to God. I want to live holy. I want to honor my wife. I want to be a one-woman man, and my old sin nature says, look at her, ain't she fine? Did you see the way she looked at you? Yeah. Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. The truth in your outline, the greatest battles of your soul occur between your ears. You said you've already said that. I know it, but I'm going to say it again. Because we got to hear it. All right? We got to hear it. And then my second enemy is Satan, Lucifer. Peter says, you remember 1 Peter 5:8, be on your guard, your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Satan or his demons seek to ruin my life for Jesus Christ. I personally don't think Satan's ever taken up any issue with me. I think it's always been a demon. I don't know that I ever attract enough attention for Satan to come from wherever he is. He can't be everywhere at once. But there are enough demons to make my life problematic. But let me give you some theology. Satan can't force you as a follower of Jesus Christ to do anything. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So, I'm not a pawn. The Holy Spirit in me can always throw them off. Satan can make powerful suggestions. He can plant negative thoughts in my mind. My husband doesn't really love me. I know he doesn't. I watch him. And you think that's your thought. It's not your thought. Not your thought. My wife doesn't respect me. My coworkers are talking about me behind my back. I'll never amount to anything. I'm never going to get ahead in life. Bad things are always going to be the theme of my life. Here's the insight. Don't believe everything you think or every idea you have. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's from you. Many thoughts come from Lucifer and my flesh. Stuff you think about yourself, about God, about your spouse, about people you know. Just because you think it doesn't make it true. So here's the application. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul said, I have forgiven that man so that Satan won't outsmart us. When I am unforgiving, I am caught in Lucifer's trap. Satan wants me bitter. He wants me in the bondage of resentment. So here's the truth. This morning, if you've not forgiven someone, you've fallen into his trap. That is a trap to not forgive. It's a trap. And then the third enemy is the world system. All right? Your third enemy is the world system. The world value system is 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world. What's in the world? Three things: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Passion, possession, position. Those are the three that do not come from God. Lust of the flesh, sex. Lust of the eyes, salary, income, having. Pride of life, success, status. That's what everybody's going for: money, sex, and power and position. God said, all those things are not of the Father, but it's of the world. Everything around you and me, all the commercials, all the media, don't encourage us to think smart, to think healthy, to think with the wisdom of God. And so what I want to do next week is I'll just kind of dig into how we fight these battles and how we win. But today is a day to come clean with God. We're going to take the supper. And what you say, well, I know I can't say I don't feel worthy because you already told me that, Pastor. Yes. And so the issue this morning isn't perfection with God. That's not what he's after. What God is after is confession and repentance. God is saying, what I want you to do, and this is under the invitation in your notes, God, today I make a commitment. I want to feed my mind on truth. Number two, I want to choose to no longer go the wrong way. When I'm watching TV and I don't like what I see, I know it's wrong. God, I want to commit you. I'm just going to flip the channel. Why? Because changing my attention and the temptation will flee. And then our prayer, and I wrote this down for you. Father, my mind is yours. Help me practice what I've just learned. Help me make good choices. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Because I want to feed my mind with truth every day at all times. I want to turn from destructive thoughts. I want to turn from thoughts of hate and unforgiveness and bitterness and lust. And I commit to take my thoughts captive and not be controlled by them in Jesus' name. That's a prayer. That's a prayer to pray. I want to ask the deacons to come that are going to help us serve this morning.